football on off the ball.
Toby, I just did a little bit of standoffish, to be honest, and I just said that to the lads in the dressing room. I thought, yeah, we're getting too much respect. And for me, on a football pitch, when you give teams too much respect, it's a fear. Yeah, didn't like it.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
All right, very welcome along. It's Thursday morning. We've got an unbelievably busy show for you. Alan Quinlan is going to join us to give us his analysis of a Lions team, which is, well, incredibly predictable. Kieran Trant is going to preview the All-Ireland football final. It's Dublin versus Meath again. And we have the Radio Kerry superstar commentary team, Tim O'Mahony and Ambrose O'Donovan at 9 o'clock. And then we have the latest kicker to be picked up by the NFL, Mark McNamee, who has joined the Green Bay Packers, in studio alongside Dara Leader, who's part of the programme. Which is getting Irish kickers over to America, and there is a new competition which is starting next week for anybody out there who wants to be a kicker, who thinks you might have what it takes to qualify for the NFL, or even before that to head off to college. In the meantime, we say good morning, Cullum.
Hi, Jack.
And Dara, how are you?
Well, lads.
Good, how are you?
You were a little crestfallen this morning, Cullum, when you realised that the tide has gone out on your ability to become an NFL kicker. You're past the age.
I know, and I could have done it. I could have done it, you know. I think the toughest part about being this age is...
How old are
the
you?
The possibility. Do you not know my age at this
I
age?
I don't, no.
I know your age. I'm 36 to your 48.
Right, okay.
Yeah. And the toughest part about being this age is the possibility that you won't make it as a professional athlete.
Mm. There are some things you could still do, right?
Possibility of it.
What?
Because you never really think it's over. I was going to say this to you. I planned to say this to you when I was like 30 seconds into it. I went for a run yesterday evening. A run, like. And I just feel like I don't think running's for me.
How far?
I just did a lap of the estate.
Did you even change?
It's about a kilometre.
You just did it in your jeans? Like?
It's about a... backpack
on. Crazy man running.
Yeah. No, I did change into the appropriate apparently.
Okay, yeah.
But,
have you
just
seen...
Just running around, yeah. Just running around chaotically. But I was realising that, like, some people enjoy running, you know?
Yeah.
Some people actually like the feeling of it. I'm kind of jealous and envious of that. I like the feeling afterwards when you feel good. Physically feel good after run. But I realised that I need a ball at my feet to run. I need a purpose. And the AirPods I have are not the best for staying in.
They pop out.
Yeah, so when you, any bit of movement, the lot are gone, which I get like way more than the average frustrated at things like that.
Yeah.
Go mad, that would just ruin the whole vibe. So I raw dog the run. And then all you're thinking about is...
Are 36-year-olds supposed to be saying, I raw dog anything?
Is there a cap on that?
Wait, what's wrong with that? Yeah. Would you not say it so in that logic? You wouldn't dream of saying it.
You're too old.
You say loads of words.
I know, but
loads of words. So I run. All the words. I run.
Have you seen too much the comedy? It's smash hit comedy. Anyway, it's one of those fish out of water comedies where an American comes to London and the word estate is in her Airbnb address, and you're giving people the impression that you ran for miles and miles and miles and miles and miles and miles.
No, you did a tiny little lap. No, the estate has to be a word converted since moving to Dublin. That in Cork, it's a park. So if you live in a housing estate, it's a park in Cork. I said that up here. And then they actually do think you live in this sprawling land of a park. It's like it's an estate in Dublin.
It's one of the worst. So less than a mile. Part. Maybe 1.2 kilometres.
I was under the impression this is a judgment-free zone.
No, I'm not judging all I'm getting at all.
Is fatherly judgment here.
Wow.
Like Aaron's folded. As if to say you didn't run much. I wasn't talking about the distance. I ran a full circle. And I just realised during it that I was like, I need a purpose beyond the run. I need a ball. If you need a goal, I need literally a goal. Not the goal of the run, like literally a goal at the end of this run to shoot into. Or at the very least, I suppose, got to get better AirPods or ear devices so I can listen to something.
No more raw dogging for you.
I won't rule it out entirely.
What was your goal, non-goal of this? Is it fitness?
Yeah,
health?
You can. It's a slippery slope. Like you can definitely see it, and by you I mean me, can definitely see it slipping away, because like gotta get a game of ball going and all that.
Did that work?
You know, you'll lose it. Like you will lose it eventually. You won't be able to actually do it physically anymore. So it's all of those kind of things.
And sorry, other sports you could take up at this stage and still make it?
Paddle.
Yeah.
Paddle.
Professionally.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't think it discriminates against age.
See, Shea Given is investing heavily in paddle.
Yeah, in Kildare.
In Strathen.
Yeah. Have you played paddle?
No.
It caters for all ages. Like, my father-in-law plays it, early 70s. Unbelievable. Gets around the court, no bother to him. So there is sport. Let us know, 0879-180-180. What sports could I become professionally in?
It's like over 50s golf.
Snooker.
And darts.
Darts. Well, you look down on darts massively, but I'd say there's an element of fitness to it.
Jackie Hurley's playing basketball for Ireland.
Yeah. They have a base level of extreme fitness, you know what I mean? But would you be much of a runner now?
I hate running.
I've stopped running. Did you run up to a point?
Well, when you're doing triathlon, you used to do a little bit of running. But I hated it. Not for me. Bad shins, bad hips.
Some people really get off in it.
If you were to run in a group, that would transform your experience.
No, I tried. That's worse because you need to talk. And that adds to it. That adds to the pain.
I've been swimming recently in preparation for the Dublin City Triathlon, which is in 3 weeks' time.
Oh, yeah.
And I would swim on my own and I would do 20 minutes. I'm like, amazing. But then when you swim in a group, they make it work for an hour and the difference is like stratospheric.
Yeah.
You just need someone ordering you around, telling you what to do.
Do you attend a gym?
No.
How long is the triathlon?
750 swim, 20k cycle. So it's a duathlon. I'm not doing the running.
Oh, okay.
You can obviously there is a run option for the better people out there. But anyway, we got the sideshow Bob there.
Yeah.
Colm busy paying no attention to us, only exclusively to the comments.
No, actually.
Yeah.
I'm actually re-looking at the Lions team.
I can see you. Your mouth is moving. A reminder, Off the Wall Breakfast is with UPMC Orthopaedic Care. When things don't move, rotator bend like they used to. Choose us to help you get back in action. The Lions team has been named.
See, my mouth is moving.
Over on this morning.
I was whispering Josh van der Fleer to myself.
Josh.
Jesus. It's brutal. This guy, World Player of the Year, a regular with Ireland, which is probably the word that does him a disservice about how important he is to the national cause. His manager at the national level picks him all the time, or certainly most of the time. And Josh van der Fleer is not in the 23 for the third and final test against Australia this weekend. It's been named this morning. So is Australia's team. Darren, do you want to go through with it? As you are the team man.
Unchanged front row. Andrew Porter, Dan Sheehan, Tyke Furlong. This will be his 9th test for the Lions in a row, which is just a crazy stat, really. Second row, Mara Toje, James Ryan. James Ryan coming in. I believe Joe McCarthy has been ruled out. But big for James Ryan first, starting the Lions.
He played
very
well when he came on, didn't he?
Did, yeah. Tyke Byrne, Jack Conan, and Tom Curry are the back row.
Who would have thought did anyone pick that back row to start?
Like at the very start of the tour? I think Ollie Chesham had a bit more momentum behind him.
Yeah.
Well, there wasn't a sense that Byrne was going to start 6 and then they started him 6 and it was like, oh, he's going to start.
It's been the revelation area of the team, has it not? The back row, how good it's been, those three, as a unit. Like, Byrne and Curry are options for player of the tour.
I think because the depth was so incredible, everybody expected the back row to be amazing. Because everybody... Yeah.
No, but this particular combination, though.
I would say it hasn't been a revelation because everybody's like, no matter what back row you pick, they're going to be... incredible.
Yeah.
Did you expect they were going to be this incredible?
Yeah.
Like, Curry's been so central, as has Byrne. And I wasn't certain whether Byrne was going to play a 6.
People were given, most people were given out about Tom Curry starting the first test.
Yeah, so I think it's bigger than that.
Player. Yeah, no, I agree with that, yeah. Another revelation of the tour, Gibson Park and Finn Russell start again.
No, I could see that coming.
You could see that coming, but... it's probably even still exceeded what we thought.
If it had been Pollock, van der Fleer and Ben Earl, or Ben Earl, van der Fleer and Pollock, I think it would have been just as good. Like, that's the thing. It's like, oh, it's your fantasy football team. Which of these incredible teams will I pick? my 9 and 10 are amazing. It's like, yeah, but any selection of 9 and 10 would have been...
Yeah.
I'd love to know if Andy Farrell decided early doors that Pollock wasn't going to be a part of any of the three tests and he was here to observe.
I mean, it looks that way, doesn't it? Mm. You carry the line.
Because he was so good.
Yeah, that's the thing.
In spells in the warm-up games.
You could say he did his best to play his way into the squad. Mm.
He was mixed in the warm-up games. Remember there was mistakes in the Argentina game where he buys the... Yeah. Rushes
but
out
that's his thing, isn't it? He makes mistakes, but then the other side of his game is something that we haven't seen in quite a long time.
He's only 20.
And he's a young pup.
But like Luis Rhys-Amit, they didn't use it all. But it would have been exciting to see him and the tour. He was basically the mascot when he was the youngest lion. There's a long tradition of the youngest lion. Everybody, yeah, it's amazing. And then they don't actually play. But it's disappointing. I'd like to see Pollock play. I'd like to see Van der Fleer play in this dead rubber game.
Well, he's taking the possibility of 3-0 very seriously.
Yeah, they are.
Centres are strong.
Bundiaki and Hugh Jones.
Tuipulotu, poor old Tuipulotu. I thought he would have been involved in every match.
I would have thought one of the 2-12s would have got on the bench if they weren't starting. But we'll get to that.
Yeah.
Back three. James Lowe's out. King Horn is in. Hugo Keenan and Tommy Freeman keeps his place.
James Lowe's out entirely.
James Lowe, who has underperformed the entire tour, who has been off colour the entire tour, says the London Times this morning. I'm like,
I don't think that's true, really, is it?
A
couple of dodgy moments, but also, his good way outseeds the bad.
Also greatness. Yeah.
6-2.
6-2 split. Ronan Kelleher, Ellis Genge, Will Stewart, Ollie Chesham, Jack Morgan, Ben Earl, Alex Mitchell, and Faz Owen Farrell. Will be number 23.
Has JR.
It's an interesting bench.
Yeah, so.
Definitely room for Van der Fleer, I would have thought, to be honest.
Van der Fleer, Pollock's a shame. Do want Van der Merwe. Did he play, has he played any part in the three tests?
No. Nope.
No, he played his way out of it, I think.
Not a minute.
He scored. Didn't he score a hat-trick against one of the Invitational?
He did, yeah. He did.
I thought he would have been some sort of a threat.
I think a hat-trick for a winger for the Lions, not discounting it, but any decent level international winger could probably amass a hat-trick in a Lions warm-up game. Not that, obviously not everyone does it, but you look at some of the tries, all he has to do is get the ball down, really.
He's a big fetish for a try, in fairness to him, but I suppose they don't necessarily need additional tries that way, you know?
It's defence.
Raw dogs is tries.
Or in some
fetish
of the warm-up games.
Right. No shaming kinks here. Well, people, no, the heart wants what the heart wants.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. What are your thoughts?
I just can't get Van der Fleer out of my head.
No.
Pollock to an extent, but just overwhelming feeling is that 4 years' time, he'll probably play.
Mark Hansen as well.
Well, with Hansen, at least he has the caveat that he probably wasn't fit. Probably wasn't available. Probably wasn't just quite ready to play any part of it. I thought because of Andy Farrell's clear love of Mark Hansen that he would have at least put him on the bench this weekend.
Yeah,
perhaps it's just the case that he wasn't quite fit enough. And he left them out.
They should have just said that then, shouldn't they? Because during the week they're like, no, Matt Hansen trained fully and is available for selection. What's the point in saying that if it's not true? Like, what is the point? That was the word that came out, was this is a fact. Either it's a fact or it's not. And if he's not, then it's like, then he's, you know, he was fit and he hasn't been picked.
Look, it's clear he's taken the game very seriously. And there's no room for sentiment whatsoever in this 23. At all. I mean, look, Ben Earl's back in. The no arms tackle is probably the thing that people are going to talk about from his tour. But he was also quite good in that first test when he came on. You're trying to pick holes in any of that selection. It's very difficult. So the argument is based on sentimentality and our fondness for certain players. I think people would have certainly, I think, liked to have seen Pollock.
How about Jack Conan though?
Yeah, amazing. Like, now look, you're on about depth there in the back row, and it was amazing. But at the same time, the depth at number 8 wasn't really there. So it did feel that Conan was going to play all the time. However,
that's a credit to him though. At the same time,
it is, he's done unbelievably well, and for a guy who's like, when Kane and Darris comes back fit, may not play for country or province when it comes to it in the big games.
Yeah.
Yet he's one of the standout players in this Lions tour. 9 Irish players again. So it's been the tour of Ireland, and it could be 3-0.
Yeah,
Australia have made 4 changes.
They have, yeah.
Our boy Nick White. Crashed our interview. He's got back in for potentially, possibly, and even probably his last ever appearance for Australia. He starts at scrum half.
Yeah. Tom Lyness is a 10.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting to see where that goes. Ben Donaldson on the bench. Jake Gordon, after his near man the match performance against Lyons in the second test, has dropped altogether. Yeah, like it's kind of hard to get up for this game now because I was hoping for a bit of crack.
I'm up for it. I'm up for it. I'm interested to see how both sides approach it. I can only imagine it'll be a slow Lyons start. I'd say they haven't had the most intense week of their lives. Australia be a bit rattled, a bit pissed off about how that second half unfolded in the second test, considering how well they had played at times in that game. I think it'll be competitive. I think it'll be tasty. I think it'll be feisty.
Yeah.
I think Australia will be angry.
The shades of 2009 in which it's flipped that the Lions lose 2-0. Obviously, Aaron O'Gara concedes that penalty. The Morning Stain kicks it and it's 2-0.
Mm.
The third test to come out and they're smashing them and they come out and win that game. Ultimately, doesn't matter, but makes for a great test match. So maybe flip that, Australia come out like that and it ends up being a great watch. But
like it could be a damn squib because the Lions probably won't celebrate as much after the third test than they have done after the second test when they won it. So the adrenaline will be gone. It'll probably mostly be relief when the final whistle goes. They can eventually go home.
They already have a trophy, don't they? There's a trophy. There's a trophy left and there's like, are there medals?
They got the medals.
Did they?
Yeah,
they gave them already?
Yeah.
So, see Katie Taylor sent a video message to the squad?
No.
Saying they had the latest episode of the Lions series on YouTube and wherever on their social media accounts. And she has a great line. So it's a pre-recorded video message and incredibly attentive bunch that are looking back at it. Annie Farrell sets it up about how amazing Katie Taylor is for people who might not be as familiar with her. And the quote she has, it's pretty cool. Prepare to win by skill, but be ready to win by will. And that's kind of the message to leave the video.
Yeah.
What did you think of the video? The Katie Taylor bit.
Oh, you saw it too?
Yeah.
I think it was pretty cool for her to go over and to do that.
I'm assuming Gary Keegan is somehow involved here. He would have been obviously with Katie when she was coming through in the high performance unit, set up the high performance unit in Irish boxing. Would have known her very well. She sounded like she was saying things that he would say.
Oh, okay.
About stuff. I felt there was very like she has embraced performance management, and it wasn't like I'm just a boxer and I go out there and I, you know, take each day as it comes, like take each game on its merits there.
Well, she's not about controlling the controllables.
Yeah, and
throughout the video.
Like she had two very specific things, and it felt like she was also kind of looking at notes. Like it wasn't just straight down the camera, it was like I've prepared for this and I have very key messages that are integrated with what your messages are going to be.
Mm-hmm.
It was like obviously very well planned, and thought was interesting. Maybe Katie Taylor doesn't just disappear off into the horizon, off into the sunset, and maybe there's a third act where she's involved in high performance sport at some level.
Definitely see that.
Maybe it'll be in America. Maybe Billy Walsh is looking at that message going, hey, would you mind doing a bit of work for us boxers ahead of the home Olympic Games in Los Angeles? You can live in Colorado and have the time of your life.
Yeah, it's a side of her we haven't really seen.
No.
You know, she's not much of a talker about the craft of what she does and how to be a great sports person. She more does rather than says. So it would be an opening up of her that we haven't seen before.
Yeah, maybe that's on people not asking her because she's available. Like, you know, pre-fight when she's promoting stuff and post-fight, generally she does stuff. So I don't know, maybe there's... I just thought it was interesting that, like, It did sound like I have very specific things I want to say, but it didn't sound like there were specific things that were going to be random. Like, would you mind talking about these things for us and your approach to them on this week?
You do wonder with a lot of those things, like even just the coaches' speeches in some of those documentaries, the Lions, they're all just so dramatic and feel like it's literally a movie script, like the Andy Farrell's 2013 speech to the Lions. I'm going to take these boys to the Hurt Arena. It's just like, there's no way that's coming off the top of the dome. Like, that's not coming off. That's not coming off the dome.
There was other action overnight.
Yes.
So, Shells went to Carabag, 3-0 down, lost 1-0 on the night, an own goal. But their new goalkeeper, Shells' new goalkeeper, Wessel Spiel, unknown from Minnesota United, saved the penalty. And Shells created two chances. Kerry McEnroy, the best of it, forced a save from the goalkeeper. Daniel Kelly at the end of the game, volleyed over. So decent enough to display, mostly defensive. They had to keep Carabag at bay.
Made some changes. Didn't make wholesale changes, but made some changes.
Yeah, I think four players remained from the first leg, I think. And now they go to the Europa League next week. Playing a Croatian side.
Who have no away fans coming, so the game is in Talca.
Yes. Yeah.
Sorry,
yeah,
the first
yeah.
game is in Croatia, second game is in Talca. If they can get it and it's in the mixer for the game in Talca.
Rijeka, name of the side.
Nathan was making the point on Off the Ball last night to Owen that this is the round, the coming round that they're playing, that Rovers won last year, that got them into the Conference League group stages. Because you win this, then you're guaranteed Conference League group stages. If you lose this, you're going to play off of the Conference League, and there are good teams in that round of the draw. Maybe we know who they will be playing. Maybe we don't. I'm not sure if that draw's been made yet. But yeah, so it's one of those, the future years of the club, the ease with which they can raise finances and sign players and invest in the academy. No pressure here, lads. But these are two of the biggest games of football of your entire life. And in fact, that the club have had since the Depor game 20 years ago. They did a great piece last night on the show with the Shells Academy director in light of the TV show that's out this week. And it just does sound like there are really good people involved in Irish football, but they need resources. Like, it's the elephant in the room. Every conversation you have about sports and football in Ireland is that we need resources, we need better facilities, but particularly we need full-time coaches. And even if we had the existing facilities we have, but we had a lot of full-time coaches, things would improve rapidly. So, yeah, that was a crack in the other one.
And then, of course, at Lone, we were talking about yesterday with Eve, and we're going to talk with Eve again imminently about it, who was at the game last night for us. At Lone Town, hammered Cardiff City 4-0.
Wow.
Hammered them. The bookies were correct.
Yeah.
The bookies were correct.
Some people weren't.
So we'll talk with Eve imminently about that historic night for Athlone Town. In the meantime, it's been a long time, but I want to know who gets it first. No music this time.
No.
Just playing in your head. I've made it. Thank you. I've made it rugby.
Oh,
for the lads in the room, you know. I'm a kind guy in that sense. So, YouTube, are you ready? Let's test your rugby knowledge. It's not about football. Same idea. No, I would say it's actually to get people involved, you know, to play to the strengths of the people in the room. Don't feel condescended. So, this player started his career. This is very easy for you to
know. Can you explain the rules? Sorry.
Very, very easy. It's very simple. I name clubs. You guess the player. Leinster, this player started with.
Joey Carvey.
No. Now, it's going to be very easy for the brains of you two now. This will be no problem. Who gets it first is the real question here. From Leinster, went to Scarlets.
Tyburn.
Very good. Very, very good. Charlie here would, if Charlie wasn't setting up our next guest, would be playing a thing for you to congratulate
ding,
you.
Ding, ding,
and
ding,
from Scarlets, where did Tyburn go?
Oh, Munster. Lions. That
well
was,
done.
The, that
well
was
done,
the,
everyone.
The biggest mistake that Leinster have made.
It's up there, yeah.
In 20 years.
What, letting TB go?
Yeah.
Text back. He wasn't much of a loss overall for the province. They've been fine, like.
Well, they might have.
I think Munster could.
They might have won two or three European Munster Cups with him.
Munster very much appreciated it. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks for shaping him.
Yeah. I wonder, I mean, maybe he'll settle there. Like,
yeah.
Maybe he'll come back. Who knows?
Who knows? All I know is Dara got it first.
I got it first, yeah.
Followed by Robert in the comments, followed by you. All right. That was that. That's that section of the show.
Very good.
Yeah. You up for the next part?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Eve, good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you?
Athlone celebrating a 4-0 victory last night. Routine, is that fair?
I feel like everybody was expecting that they would give a strong performance, but I don't think anyone was anticipating just how dominant it was. It was really from start to finish, and they didn't let Cardiff have a chance.
So explain how the game, the ebb and flow went. When did the goals arrive?
So it was about 20 minutes into the first half, and Athlone really dominating possession, dominating midfield. Their captain, Izzy Groves, just returning from injury. And the wingers either side, Roisin Molloy and Madison Gibson, really controlling the flow of the game. And it was a Madison Gibson pass into Izzy Groves, who dinked it over the goalkeeper into the net to get the first goal. And then before, I think once the floodgates opened, it couldn't stop. Roisin Molloy netted two more before half time. And then it was one more goal in the second half from Hannah Waite. And then they did really well in the final sort of 30 minutes of the game to shut Cardiff out. And really, they gave them no chance at all. It was a dominant performance, featuring a lot of returning players from injury who were involved in the goals, like Izzy Groves, Matty Gibson, and Roisin Molloy, who's recently back as well.
Beforehand, there was a lot of talk about how this might be a turning point for football in the town. Athlone is a football town, was the direct quote in the build-up from Colin Fortune. And they had sold, I think, something like nearly 2,000 tickets. So it sounds like it was a pretty good atmosphere.
It was amazing. There was, I think, the final total was 1,916. And you just don't get these kind of figures anymore for football matches in Athlone. I mean, St. Mel's, back in the day, everyone quotes that AC Milan European fixture in 1975, there were 9,000 people there. And so to get kind of attendances again in the thousands for, and especially for a women's game, is brilliant. You know, the atmosphere was really electric. There was queues to get out of the car park for ages afterwards. And hopefully now again on Saturday, when they face Croatian champions Agram in the final of this round one qualifying, there can be a similar atmosphere there, because all the girls on the team said afterwards that it really pushed them on. And I don't know if Cardiff were expecting such a loud atmosphere to be playing in front of.
The most recent census says Athlone has a population of 22,000. So 1 in 10 of the people who live in Athlone were at the game last night, which is pretty impressive. Let's hear from Colin Fortune here in conversation with Eve last night.
The beginning of the year, you know, there was a change of management and now a change of ownership. You had a lot of new players coming in. How is it managing that transition? And obviously it's working out great, but are you seeing now, I guess, reaping the rewards of what a successful transition it's been?
Yeah, no, it has, you know, and that's all down to the players as well. You know, we've changed a few things coming in. You know, I wanted to put my stamp on things. A few players have moved on. A few players have come in. You know, we're a different animal than what they were last year. You know, we're different. It's a different team altogether. We're more possession based, and you know, and to be fair to the players, you know, they bought into that. They weren't saying, "Oh no, we didn't do that last year. This is the way we do things." They didn't do that. They were open. You know, they were willing to try something different, and you know, the level of performance in that first half showed that, because we were very, very good in possession of football in that first half. You know, some of the combinations and some of the attacking patterns was a joy to watch, and that's things we've been working on in training, and to see it come off in a match is brilliant. But to see it come off in a Champions League match at home, in front of a packed house, you know, that's really is dreams, what dreams are made of. And you know, I was delighted with that for the players.
And just finally, you know, being from Athlone yourself, we've had a storied but quite short European history, I suppose, and you've certainly written your names in that history book now. What does it mean, kind of, being from Athlone and seeing the development of football here and what this night means?
Yeah, it's massive. You know, as an Athlone man, I grew up in the terraces of St. Mel's Park. You know, I know all about the history. You know, I've been at some of them Champions League games before. You know, gone down through the years. It's absolutely massive. It was a proud moment for me, you know, particularly during injury time, to be able to savour the moment, you know, all the fans standing, clapping, you know, for these players. You know, it's something I'll never forget, and something I'm absolutely delighted to be proud of. And, you know, I'm a very, very proud man tonight.
It's Colin Fortune there talking with Eve last night. So what's next, Eve? It's Ireland versus Croatia in European football and in the Champions League, Europa League from Sheldon's perspective. So what's the crack with this? They won't be favourites for this, I suspect.
No, and I think most of the players on the pitch speaking afterwards yesterday would tell you that. But that doesn't mean that they're not confident. You know, Agram probably have a longer European history or more recent European history than Athlone. But I think that the confidence that Athlone can take going into that match, considering just how dominant they were against Cardiff, will be huge. And having the home advantage as well is fantastic. The pitch at the Z1 will be probably different to ones that a lot of European teams play on. It's more of an artificial pitch. The girls have great momentum going into this game. You know, no one got injured yesterday at all. I mean, Cardiff players were dropping like flies on this Athlone pitch. But none of the Athlone players got injured, so they should have a full squad. Lots of momentum. And, you know, whatever happens, they're going to give it a go and try and become the first Irish women's team to make it out of round one in nearly 15 years.
It's hard to argue for a change in the team for this weekend, Eve, is it, when everyone played that well?
Yeah, I mean, the subs who came on in the second half did fantastically for Athlone, but you could tell that the momentum maybe slowed down a bit. The game was a bit less fast-paced once the subs came on. And I think that front three of Maddie Gibson, Kelly Brady, who was maybe unlucky not to get on the score sheet, and Roisin Molloy, and then just behind them, Izzy Groves, such a lethal combination at the front that I think you could see that exact same starting 11 very easily on Saturday, with a very solid defence behind them and all of them kind of working together for a pressing game that really gave their opponents no chance of getting into their own area.
It was an unbelievable night for Irish football. What are the confidence levels for this Saturday at the same venue?
I think the confidence levels are high. Well, admittedly, everyone was kind of running on adrenaline last night, but I think the confidence levels are high. There's been a lot of time and effort put into this team by a lot of volunteers down the line. And I think, as Colin Fortune said in that interview, it has been a very kind of uncertain time for Athlone Town women's team this year. And for the players to have adjusted so well to that, to be under the leadership of, you know, a local man and his staff as well, mostly from Athlone. And a lot of the girls are either studying in Athlone or from Athlone or the surrounding areas themselves. You really get the sense that it's a team that has the whole town, not only behind them, but the whole town in the team as well. I think Roisin Molloy said after the match that it's not just the 24 girls that make up the squad. It's really everyone who is who's a part of this team. And yeah, for Colin Portia's staff, I've been looking at the Croatian side, so I think they'll be quietly confident maybe.
And Colin Portia made it clear in his chat with you last night after the game that this is very much a different Athlone side this season under his tenure. And would you agree with that yourself from witnessing them compared to last season?
I would say they were a fantastic team last season, obviously winning the league. But this season, you get a sense that they're perhaps more mature, having gone through perhaps a bit of uncertainty and getting some new players in. I mean, Kelly Brady has been just a breath of fresh air for the squad. Like Izzy Groves, who captained the team last night, coming in from London City Lionesses. And, you know, I mean, she's a capped international player. She's been capped for Jamaica. So you have this mix of experience with some brilliant youth prospects coming up. And I think what it gives the team is a sense of balance, very mature. And they really look like they're undaunted by whatever opposition they could be facing in Europe, whether that be Cardiff City last night and now this Croatian side coming up on Saturday.
Saturday, 4 o'clock kickoff?
Yeah. If bandwagoners are welcome, are tickets still available?
I think so. There's not been much details released. I don't think anyone wanted to jinx it yet, but details should be coming soon.
Lovely. Great stuff.
Thanks, Eve.
Thank you.
It's Eve Conway there with reports from last night.
Yep. Are you going to Oasis?
I don't currently have tickets.
Neither do I.
Is this your come and get me, please?
Yeah, because anybody out there wants? I joined the queue that infamous Saturday morning last year with everyone else seemingly in the whole country. 600,000 dad and got to the front and the prices were outrageous. Couldn't justify it. Couldn't afford it. Simple as. But I said to myself and I said to everyone else that day, I was like, I'm confident when it comes around to the time that I'll get one for either Saturday or the Sunday, the 16th and 17th of August, Croke Park. Let us know if you're going out there.
Still 2 weeks away.
Very confident. Yeah.
You're still confident?
I'm still confident I'll get something at the last minute, yeah. You never, people always, there's always, people can't go, like last second people can't go to these things.
Would you go with some randomer who's watching?
I mean, ideally you want to go with a buddy or two, you know, because like that's what they are, like that's what this band is. It's a, you know, it's a communal thing, like you want to share it with people. But obviously, if push came to shove.
Is that phrase, there's no strangers, just friends you haven't met yet?
Absolutely, and would you have that mindset?
No.
Or would you reject the population at large?
No.
I suppose you would, yeah. That's accurate. Now, What do you want to do now? I have a few comments. Do you want to do a few headlines instead, do you? United won last night against Bournemouth, 4-1, having beaten West Ham the other day. They're back.
Go on then. Go on. Tell us about United.
No, that's it really.
How much money have Chelsea made from selling duds to Saudi Arabia?
You have the figure. The transfer fees now, particularly transfer fees.
Exclusively transfer fees. Yeah.
Maybe it's lower than you think though. I'll go 200.
It's only 99 million.
Yeah.
João Félix is the most recent. They made a profit on João Félix.
And how much did he go for?
43.7 million.
Huh. To Cristiano Ronaldo's side, isn't it? Al Nassr.
It is Al Nassr.
And who's the other guy? They don't mention it, do they? The other player that they sold.
Oh, there's a list of them.
Oh.
19-year-old Brazilian winger Angelo Gabriel, 19 million. He didn't play a single minute for Chelsea. And left for 6 million more than they paid for him. N'Golo Kante.
Oh, yeah. Kalidou, of course, yeah. Didn't he not go for free?
Edouard Mendy all went the same way. And then they tried to get Raheem Sterling to go. They did a deal and they sold Raheem Sterling, and Sterling was like, I'm not going.
Fair play to him.
Raheem Sterling's 9-year-old is at Arsenal.
Ah.
And is apparently very good in the academy. But the reason that they've got such a good relationship, so Clear Lake Capital own Chelsea.
Uh-huh.
One of the major investors in Clear Lake Capital is the Saudi Investment Fund, PIF. So they're like, well, if you are successful, it's good for us. We can take any of those players away. Because everybody's wondering, like, how did the Chelsea business model not fall over? Why were they not slapped with whatever? And it turns out, where's the transfer ban? Why are they able to do all this? Good accounting and the release valve of, well, now obviously the release valve of the Saudi money that ended up backing the Club World Cup and the money from this. So they're actually in a very good situation.
Yeah, well, they are, yeah. And they've had a great summer. But come here, I remember you and I having a debate months ago about Cork GAA and the money that they owe back. And I was like, sure, what if they just don't? Well, like, what are the repercussions if they don't pay it? And I'd be cynical about this particular part of sport because we've heard all summer long that Manchester United can't afford to buy players. And
that was a lie.
They've paid big money for the two boys from Bahrain and Bumo and Mateus Cunha. And now this morning in the newspapers, heavily, heavily linked with Benjamin Sesko.
Sorry, that was pure PR and marketing spin.
When Jim Ratcliffe told Gary Neville, the club nearly went out of business.
They wanted to sack 1,000 people, or however many it was, and they wanted to retain some credibility with the people who worked there and the staff and the fans. It was clearly not true.
I'm just very sceptical about any significant repercussions for any of these huge sporting behemoths. Like, it sounded like Barcelona were going to be out of business last season when they couldn't register Dani Alamo. And it ended up being fine. Like, it was a delay and they eventually got him registered. And we go through the actual problems that all these clubs and entities have with finance and, geez, they're in trouble here now. And then ultimately it always happens that they cut through the other side and the headlines go away and they end up signing players again. The amount it's repeated is the thing that's least surprising.
So it's not always true.
Can you give me...
Leeds, Leicester... Loads of clubs who aren't powerful clubs. Loads of clubs who... So the Dani Olmo situation... The Dani Olmo situation is interesting. They needed intervention from a Barcelona supporting government minister who said, nah, it's bullshit, let him play. And then they let him play.
They have string pullers, I'm saying. All these...
But yeah, so Man United
levers.
Do. But the smaller clubs don't. Villa, for example, at the moment, if they want to sign players, they need to sell players... That's why you're seeing Ollie Watkins, and they had to do a deal with UEFA, and they'll be banned from European competition for a year if they breach the terms of the deal. Chelsea also did a deal with UEFA, but then they sell all their players to Saudi Arabia because Saudi Arabia owns a little bit of, on the QT, owns a little bit of Chelsea, and the merry-go-round continues. So I think you're right to be sceptical, particularly when it comes to the Manchester United stuff.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
Football on Off the Ball.
Yeah, just a little bit standoffish, to be honest. And I just said that to the lads in the dressing room. We're getting too much respect. And for me, on a football pitch, when you give teams too much respect, it's a fear. Yeah, didn't like it.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.